Let's read God's word. Could you open in Psalm 139? Psalm 139 in verse 12. We're looking at the sanctity of life Sunday, and the message, the title of the message is Sanctity of Life. And we'll look at that this morning. And look what it says in the Psalm 139, verse 12. And we look and we're going to read until verse 16. So if you're there, if you have it on your phone and your iPad and your Bible, right here like I have mine, let's read what God says. It says, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, within continuance with fashion, when as yet there was none of them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your love for the human race. Thank you, Lord, for life, and it's fragile, but thank you, Lord, that you give me life in every person in this room. And I pray, Lord, for the innocent this morning. They cannot defend themselves. But in this very country, in this very hour, many are losing their lives. I pray, touch the hearts of those mothers. They refrain themselves from doing such a thing. Bless this message, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, this is one of the most sensitive topics I could ever preach from. To me, abortion is something that doesn't fit very well. I tell you why, if you're sitting here today and you had an abortion, let me remind you that God is a forgiving God. Amen. You can ask Him to forgive you. He will forgive you. And this message today is not to, if you, somebody on social media, or even here this morning, if you have done one, I'm not preaching this message to condemn you at all. It's not my place to be a judge of anyone. I'm just going to proclaim the word of God and what God says. And if you feel guilty or if you feel bad about it, there is a God that can forgive you. There are many people that have done this, but there is a forgiving God that can forgive all. Okay? And let me tell you, I don't preach a message like this in an easy way. It's very hard. Like I said, it's a very sensitive topic to me because to me life is precious and I love people. The reason why I'm a pastor is because I love people. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a pastor. I want you to learn the Word of God. Amen. I want you to see that the Word of God has value and the Word of God can change your life. That's the reason why I went to pastoral ministry, the reason why we open a church, the reason why we proclaim God's Word. I don't have this as a career. I never will. I never will. That's me. It's a call. And I'm here because I love you. I want you to learn God's word. I want you to see that you can live according to this book. Amen. So life is a wonderful gift from a loving God. Society doesn't believe this. Society, in the eyes of society, God is about this small. Powerless. We live in a society today the word is science. Science resolves everything. Let me put this as we get to our lesson. Who created science? God did. Amen. Go to the book of Psalm and Proverbs on the books and you see science all over the Bible. It's there. When the man believed that the world was flat, God said it was round. All right? It took many centuries before man even acknowledged that the world was round. But the Bible always said it was round. Yep. Yep. So it's all over the Bible. But when it comes to creation, is a problem. People believe in different way than we believe as Christians. The Big Bang Theory. Boom! And everything came to be. Well, that's the way God did it, isn't it? The Big Bang Theory. Evolution. You see, when you believe in evolution, your mind gets desensitized. Now you're not accountable to a God. You don't have to answer to God for what you have done here on earth. Because the Bible says it was appointed once the men to die, and after that, what? The judgment. So every person will answer to God for every word, every action, every thought, every attitude, everything that person ever did on this earth. So life is a wonderful gift from a loving God. Planet Earth is full of life. From the oceans to the top of the highest mountains, life is something very predominant on planet Earth. We say, well, is life on Mars? Yeah, go there. There's no life at all. All right, I don't care what you say. Oh, is life extraterrestrial somewhere else? Yeah, go believe on that one. I don't. Life is on planet Earth is a unique place because God in the beginning, but God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why earth? Because there was there where God put life. And earth is full of life. And we give thanks to our Creator for creating this wonderful gift called life. But let me tell you, life is fragile and must be handled with care. Now, isn't that strange that we have to set aside a day to remember human life? Isn't that strange? So according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's website, there are 388 endangered animals or species and 129 threatened species in our planet right now. So Americans have gone out of our way to protect all kinds of life. We have all gone our way to protect millions of dollars outspent to protect wildlife. However, we have overlooked one species, the human race. We have failed to protect human life. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, over 50 million babies have been aborted. That's 1.5 million a year, 4,000 a day, one every 20 seconds, 120 babies during this sermon. What does it mean to say the sanctity of life? Sanctity means the quality of being holy or sacred. But simply then, sanctity of human life means human life is set apart from all other life. Human life is the crown of God's creation. God created all, but when He created human life, it is the crown of His creation. He said when He did it, it was good. No, it was not good. It was very good. The reason why Jesus died for humans, so you and I can have salvation. Jesus didn't die for cats and dogs and fishes. He died for you and for me. Life, as we know, is a precious gift. Actually, is a wonderful gift from the hands of a wonderful Creator. If the world would really see the value of life as God sees it, this world would be a better place to live. Many mothers, I say mothers, and I don't say woman, I say mothers because that's what they became, went to those places. Think that if they take that baby, I refuse to call a fetus, is a baby, is a human life away, but they never tell you in those clinics what comes after that. They have a lifelong of remorse, especially when they see other children that supposedly will be the same age as their child. If you're young and never been there, I hope you listen to this message. If you at a middle age, be careful. Listen to this message. If you are older person, listen please and teach others. Because human life is precious in the sight of God. So let's look at this from several points this morning. The mystery of life. We see this in Psalm 139, verse 13 to 18. So life itself is one of the greatest mystery. Scientists can't explain it away with their intellect. I'm glad, like I told you in the beginning, today is science, science, science. Let me tell you something about science. I was thinking about this week and last week. We are dealing with a pandemic called COVID-19. All right? Okay. Here's one thing that is bothering me to no end. People are getting vaccinated. So if you're being vaccinated, all right, then what happens there, you're not supposed to get the disease anymore. Why are you wearing a mask after you've been vaccinated? I need somebody to give me an answer because it bothers me. Science, right? To give me a scientist to explain me life. They can't explain about cells, blood, organs, and everything else that makes the human body. But no one can understand life in itself because it's hidden with God. It's sacred. It's hidden with God. Scientists are searching for life, but find it not. No one has ever seen life itself after it leaves the body. No one can explain it. Life is from God, given from God. He is the giver of life. Imagine you have a store, you have a parking lot. Just abandon that store in that parking lot before you know you are going to see nature would take over that stuff. You know why? Because that's what God does. Life on planet Earth is strong and vibrant. When does life begin? David the psalmist answered this question to us this morning. He says in our text, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that day that my soul knoweth right well. My heart this morning goes to the innocent, to those who were never given a chance to live. And I was thinking this morning, the next movie star, the next superstar, the next football player, the next basketball player, the next baseball player, the next president, the next mom, the next dad, they never had a chance to live.
That's right.
Because somebody decided to murder them. Jeremiah, go to Jeremiah chapter 1. I want you to see this in Jeremiah chapter 1. When people, those that call a baby a fetus, are sad of a word. It says, Jeremiah chapter 1, look at verse 4. It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You see, God says right here, when you, before you even got there, but when I formed you in the belly, guess what? I already knew you. You tell me if that's a fetus or that's a human life or that's a baby. That's a baby right there. Don't tell me that is a fetus. I hate that word. I already do. It is wonderful to be able to watch a beautiful sunset, isn't it? To eat your favorite dessert, to go hunting or fishing, and to go shopping, and with your daughter, or to go to a ball game with friends. It's wonderful to have a cookout, all those wonderful things. But let me tell you this, I'm sad that many of them never had a chance because somebody took it away. I was watching a movie last night, and let me tell you how sad it was to me that somebody say it's my choice. Let me tell you this. If we're going to say it's my choice, it's my body, whose body is in there? You're just a vessel of another human body. Let them choose.
Amen. That's right.
Let them live and choose and say, do you want to die? Aren't you glad your mother chose to, for you to live? Yet, every year in USA, 1.2 to 1.4 million lives are never given the opportunity to find how wonderful life really is. That's how many abortions are performed each and every year in USA. That amounts to 4,000 every day, 3 every minute, 1 every 20 seconds. To think that so many children die every 2 hours in the USA is very sad.
Yep.
Number two, the creator of life. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to see there something. And it says, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground." Genesis 2:6 says, "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." And verse 7, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Well, the majority of people in this world will look at this and laugh. And you say, no, we evolved. We came from a cell somewhere. We don't believe in this stuff. All right, go on and believe that. Want to go live like a... See how people came to a point and take human life out? Because they're desensitized. They make it easy so people can say, oh, it's not that bad. Yes, it is. So when a mother eliminates the life of a child, then for the rest of her life, she lives with remorse for what she did. You know what that tells me? She knows she did wrong. But let me tell you, if you've done this, he's a God that can forgive you. Ask him to forgive you. So there are all kinds of philosophies that goes in this world about life and how it begins. Man in his wisdom come with all kinds of ideas about life and how it begins. Somehow, men try to explain to another man how it began. And many are the ones who believe in the ideas and the philosophies of men. The question is this, in whom am I going to believe when it comes to the question where life began or where life came from? Am I going to believe in the philosophies of another man? Or am I going to believe in God Almighty? You make a choice. Am I going to believe that life began from a cell somewhere and evolved to a monkey and a gorilla and it came to me? And let me tell you, when I go to the zoo, I still see the gorillas in the trees.
Yep.
Why those ain't evolved? Why? It's just a certain species. I thought one time I wrote the book, it was the most hilarious thing. I laughed so hard, I didn't begin to cry. I tell you what, it was a book about a dolphin. And this particular dolphin decide to leave the water. And when he leave the water, he began to grow legs and grow arms and begin to look like a man. You take a fish out of the water and tell me how long he's going to live. I mean, let's use common sense here. By the way, all the other dolphins still in the water today. But we believe that because we believe in the opinions of people. I personally believe in the God of the Bible.
Amen.
To answer this question about life, because he was the only one who's been there when life begins. There was not a single scientist present when life begins. There was not a single critic when life began. There was not a single atheist when life began. There was not there anyone when life began. It was God. When God was done with his creation, the Bible tells this way in Genesis 1:31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Let me tell you this way. Everyone is wonderfully made in the eyes of God. You might look in the mirror and say, "I don't like my ears. I don't like my nose. I don't like my hair." And God says, "Child, I love you the way you are." The Bible has much to say about life and how it begins and how it will end. This is a statement that many philosophers before us refuse to acknowledge. They teach our kids in school, and they believe that. They believe a lie, that we evolved, that God is no way present in creation. We came. Don't they try to go for, and even shows today, they say that we are a inferior species because we came from another planet. Baloney. Many centuries ago, God asked this question to a man named Job. I want you to go there. Job chapter 38, verse 4, about this question of life. Go to Job 38, verse 4. Job was the man also, and God said, let me ask you this question, Job. And I believe God is asking you the same question this morning. Look what it says in Job 38, verse 4. It says, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou has an answer, understanding. You see, God says to Job, Job, you tell me, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I created the galaxies and the planets and the universe? Where were you? You know what God says to you and me today? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Do you think you know more than I do? I've been here. I've been around since before the time came along. I'm outside time. But somehow, somewhere, mankind becomes his own God. So we look up to man like they're the most wise people on the earth. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people with a lot of wisdom out there. Don't get me wrong. And some of you are very intelligent. But let me tell you, we must never forget there was a God who created you. He gave you the brains that you have. But somehow, somewhere, we think that we know more than God. Folks, let me tell you this. Be careful with humanism. We live in the age of humanism. Man have an answer for everything in life. So instead of making you feel guilty or a woman feel guilty to eliminate the life of the innocent, they say, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. It's not a human life, it's just a cell of blood, and that's what it is. So then they try to ease your mind from the guilt of committing a crime. That's what they do. Letter A, God is the giver of life. Not only does God create life, but he breathed life in the nostrils of mankind, and he became a living soul. So he gives life. He gives life to every precious and very life. Life is very precious, I'm sorry. And every person that is living, it is a gift from God. Let me tell you, you have no assurance of tomorrow. You say, oh, I see you tomorrow. Many don't make it tomorrow. You, my friend, have an appointment with your maker. And nobody dies early. Everybody dies on time. Sometimes we say, only the good die, the bad always stays behind. That's a sad statement to say. Even the bad die too. But somehow, somewhere, when we die, we're all good. You ever been to a funeral home? Everybody that dies, they're all good people. Sometimes I've been in some funerals, I thought I was in the wrong place. Let me put it this way. Doctor, I'm giving you a story right here. Bernard Nettinson, I believe is his name. If I didn't say his name properly, I'm sorry. He was the leading abortion doctor in the United States in the 1970s. He had campaigned vigorously for the legalization of abortion, and he himself had performed 60,000 abortions. He even believed his intentions were very good and that he was doing a righteous thing by providing a service that guaranteed a woman's right to control her body. But something changed in Dr. Nettinson, Nettinson's point of view. It was a medical breakthrough. It was called ultrasound. Introduced in 1976, this device literally opened a window on fetus development. The first time Nettinson saw an ultrasound in action, it was with a group of residents gathered around a pregnant patient in a darkened examining room, watching and demonstrating by a technician. The technician applied the gel to the human, to the woman's belly or abdominal area, and began working and hand felt the sensor over her stomach. As the screen clarified, Nathanson was amazed. He could see the trotting of the heart, he said. When the technician focused closely on the image, Nathanson could see all four chambers of the heart pumping blood. During the scan, Nathanson became convinced. He said that his mind has dropped the word fetus in favor of the word baby. Suddenly, everything he had been learning about the child in the womb since his entry into the medicine snapped into focus. He had known what took place in the womb, but something, somehow seeing it for the first time changed everything in his mind. Mr. Nathanson, the leading abortion doctor in America, became convinced that human life existed in a womb from the onset of pregnancy. In the article he wrote for the New England Journal of Medicine, he wrote in abortion, we are taking life. That fetus is not a mere tissue, he said, is a human life. Amen. Now I'm talking from the mouth of a testimony from a doctor that performed over 60,000 abortions. Interesting that the Bible starts with the subject of creation. You know why? Because God values human life. It says, actually, one of the Bible books on which unbelievers argue is the most is the book of Genesis because of creation. It is the book of beginnings. It's the book where God declares the wonder of his creation. Actually, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 is a declaration that God created the universe and the details, explanation of the 6 days of creation. Even people think that the world's been around for thousands of years. That's baloney and that's a lie. That is not true. We can trace it back to the very day of creation. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to blow your mind this morning. The world's been around for literally 6,000 plus years, not 200 million years. Read your Bible and do your study. You will find out. Amen. 32 times in this chapter, the creative God is called Elohim. In a Hebrew word that emphasizes his majesty and his power. And let me tell you, for the young generation, I'll blow your mind because in school, that's what they teach you. I was in public school. I know what they teach you. I've been there. And when I talk to the young people, oh no, the dinosaurs been around for those many years. That's a bunch of baloney. We can't date this. Really? Let me tell you. If you begin to talk with those so intelligent people, they will run out of questions when you begin to question them. They will run out of answers, let me tell you this. Elohim reveals his power in his majesty. So let it be, God created man in his image. Look what it says in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Let me tell you, we live in a world today that we don't respect our fellow man. Right. We become people like, who are you? I'm better than you. Look at my status in life. Listen, we have to look at people and respect them for who they are. They're made in the image of God. A baby made in the image of God. A colored people made in the image of God. A Chinese people made in the image of God. We should not disrespect people. Racism does not fit. We have one race, the human race. Amen. I have little respect for racist people. No. We have to be respectful because all of us were made in the image of God. That's right. Respect the human life. So the phrase, the image of God means, this phrase defines man's unique relation to God and set him apart from the animals. He was like God, and he would reason and had intellect with an emotion. So how did we come to the phrase, the place in our society where we destroy the life of millions of babies? You know why? Because we don't see a baby as someone made in the image of God. We saw desensitized. It's a fetus. It's a blob of cells and blood. That's what they tell you. When God looks in the womb, he said, before you got there, I knew you. You see that? God says, before you have been in the womb of your mother, I knew you. He tells that to Jeremiah. How sad that we come to a point like that. Actually, the Bible talks about Ashtoreth was the goddess of sensual living, the goddess of fertility and reproduction. Molech was a pagan god to whom a child sacrifice were made. So it's nothing new under the sun, my friend. Sounds familiar? Our whole society has turned away from total devotion to God and has turned its heart to pursue the same gods. People everywhere are turning from total devotion to God and are pursuing the spirit of Ashtoreth. Our Desperate Housewives was a show that was on TV. In MTV, world tells us that we can do anything we want, anything that makes us feel good, anything that our deprived minds and hearts can come up with. If we want to have sex before marriage, outside of marriage, with someone we don't even truly love, or maybe someone we don't care about it, go ahead and do it. And if you get pregnant, just go to the clinic and just clean it up. So we live in with a so desensitized mind that everything is okay and God is far away from everything. It doesn't matter what you do. Be careful, because you will answer to God someday. You see, we have a society, we have entertainment that is polluting our minds. What was the day that marriage was a sacred thing? What was the day that a young lady would wait until marriage? Today, do it how you feel like, and that's okay. And if you get pregnant, just go down the clinic, and it's okay. Just a fetus. Is the spirit of Ashtoreth. Then the spirit of the Molech. If you end up getting pregnant or getting someone pregnant, then simply go and see your clinic and eliminate the pregnancy. We even have Christian denominations whose statements of belief support abortion today. I'm so thankful that East Bay Baptist Church is a totally pro-life church. Amen. Our statement of faith states we should speak on behalf of the unborn and contend for the sanctity of human life from conception to natural death. That's what we do. We believe that God created life, and we believe that life is precious in the sight of God. We believe that. And you say, Pastor, I have committed abortion. What I do? There is a wonderful God. You can ask Him forgiveness. He can forgive you. Let us see, God sustains life. According to Colossians 1:16, it says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I heard a sad statement one time made by a pro-choice person. He said, we have too many people in our planet, so it is justified that we eliminate some for the sake of others. You know what, folks, what that is? Humanism. We don't believe that God can take care of us, so we kill others for the sake of others. Is that a mentality of our society? Is that a mentality of the world in general? That's humanism, my friends. So we have too many people on planet Earth. We just have to get rid of some. How sad is that? Can God take care of us? Yes, He can. You know what it is? We want to live in luxury. We don't want to live with all these pleasures of this world. And others are like, let's get rid of these people. How sad is that? We have to trust that God can sustain life. That God can take care of it. I believe that when a woman comes to that situation, she should contemplate. I can give this to another family that can take care of this child. There's many resources out there that would help you, help a young lady come to that point. I'll give you a story. There was a friend of mine that worked with me several years back. He said, I was dating this young lady, and she came to me and she said she was expecting a child. And I said, he was telling me he was crying. He said to me, I said, let's get married. Let's raise this child. Look what she said. My mother told me I'm too young to get married and to be a mother. She forgot one thing. She was already a mother. And he said, please, don't you do this. Have the child and give it to me. My family will take care of it. She didn't listen. She took the life of the child. He said, this has been many years back. And when I think of this, this is a man, he said, I cry and regret for that moment. I should never have done that thing. My child never had a chance to live. This was not a woman, because I never met her. I met him. And he was crying like a baby. Every life is of great significance in the sight of God. Right. Every life is important. Every life is of great significance. And let me tell you, so are you right there. How many babies were destined to be great, to have great potential, to do great things for the human race, and never had a chance? You see, man, with all of his wisdom and power, cannot control planet Earth. Man thinks he's all-powerful, he's almighty, he's all-intellectual, he's full of wisdom. We cannot even control a windstorm or rainstorm. But we think we can do it all. We don't need God. So what we do when we're sick from this thing, we run to the doctor. The doctor has an answer for everything. It's a pill for everything today. You are unhappy? I'll give you a happy pill. You will cry? I'll give you a pill so you can't stop crying. We have pills for everything. You know what we don't have a pill for? For debt. We're all going to die. We're all heading that way. But let me tell you, some people have their hands full of blood for killing so many innocent children. And you say, Pastor, you don't understand. If we let everybody live, how are they going to live? How are we going? Where are we going to put all that people? Oh, you leave that to God.
Amen.
See, somehow, some way, you want to make the mat in our own mind, and everything is going to come because it has to fit our thinking. You leave that to God. Let God take care of it. God can take care of it. He said, well, so many people in this world dying of starvation. Whose fault is that? I don't think it's God. Look at their governments and what they do to their own people. And we blame God for it. How many millions of dollars come out of this country to other countries to help them and never make it to the people? There's people taking advantage of them and making and suppress them. You know why? It's not God's fault. God gave us a world full of resources, full of things to sustain life. And we say, we have too many people on planet Earth, so let's kill some. You know the saddest thing about this whole abortion thing that people don't understand is the millions of dollars that they make killing innocent people.
Right.
Study about it. You like the internet? Why don't you read about it? Oh, it's just, you know, it's more than that, folks. Billions of dollars are made at the cost of human life. And we think it's okay. I don't know about you, but it doesn't fit good with me. It doesn't fit good with me. I think every life should have a chance to live. Every life given by God has an opportunity to flourish and to be what God intended to be. And let me tell you, we should give the opportunity to the innocent, to those who cannot defend themselves. Let them live. Let them flourish. Let them be somebody. We think we can control. We have authority over them. We don't have authority. We should not be judges over people. It's amazing when you tell somebody about Jesus, they say, oh, don't be a judge. Don't judge me. But we turn the other way around and we say, it's okay to kill. Who are you? You're being a judge over that person. We have no right to do that. Human life is a sacred life. And let me tell you, let the innocent live.
Amen.
Because God is good. Be careful with humanism. Listen, you listen to the philosophies of this world and the so-called intelligent minds, and it will take your mind away from this book. You know, some people think or say that the Bible is dangerous. The people that read the Bible are dangerous people. They're closed-minded people. Really? Really? Are we? You know, it makes a difference in this world about righteous living, moral rights. It's Christians, those who live according to the Word of God. We love people. We don't judge people. We have a world that is showing and telling you who should live, who should not live. And the lives of innocents that be taken away every single day in the world. What about even in our country? I conclude with this. Commit your life to God, to the God of life. If you ever commit this crime with society in our world is legal, think about the God who created you. We have no right to take somebody else's life. We have no right. I'm talking about from the oldest, because I don't believe in euthanasia as well.
Amen.
Are you not profitable to society, so we're just going to shot you and kill you? So, because, you know, we're just spending money on you. Who are we even to come to that conclusion?
Right.
Let God take life when it's time to take life. Let the innocent live. And I tell you, if you ever been in that situation, or if you contemplating even do that, listen to what God says about life. If you ever done that, go to God, ask Him to forgive. He will forgive you. You don't have to live with that guilt. God will forgive you. Young man, young woman, don't make that mistake. Don't get yourself in that situation. Get married. God will bless you for it. And have your children when you get married. Wait. Wait. Don't rush it. I say this from the bottom of my heart. Wait. Don't rush it. Because when children come along, they come with great responsibility. They depend on you. Let's trust the Lord. And let's encourage those who are struggling with this subject. That life comes from God. That life is a wonderful gift. And we have to handle life with care because life is fragile. You know, sometimes we think we have it all together and we can drop dead in 2 seconds. Life is fragile. Let's handle life with care. Let's pray for our country that this crime of abortion will go away. You say, well, how woman going to do that if they can't take the baby? It's all kinds of sources. It's all kinds of things that can be done that we can allow that child to live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you, Lord, for human life. It's the crown of your creation. Lord, you love human life so much that you end up going to Calvary's cross to pay the price that we cannot pay, Lord, so our sins can be forgiven. And Lord, thank you so much for that. And I pray, Lord, for those mothers, and my heart goes to them, those mothers, Lord, that sacrificially sacrifice everything so their children could live. And my heart goes to those mothers out there today, Lord, that are contemplating taking the life of their children. Lord, the womb is supposed to be the most safe place for a child. And in our country today, it's becoming a place of a horrible crime. I pray, Father, Lord, that be with those ladies in a very special way. Touch their hearts, that they walk away from such a thing. And Lord, I pray this morning for someone here, maybe have done an abortion. I pray, Father, they'll find comfort and forgiveness in you. And I pray, Lord, if it's someone that never received Jesus as Savior, may they call upon you today for salvation. They can find forgiveness in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.